Thank you, Jenna, the choir. What a perfect song. That sort of captures the whole sermon right there. What would I do today if I were brave? Well, welcome. Thank everyone for coming out today. It's good to see everybody here today. This is the second in a four-part series. The title of my talk today is A Life of Courage. Last week was A Life of Character. Next week is going to be A Life of Giving. And then on New Year's Eve morning, we will be singing A Life of a New Beginning. So the title, A Life of Courage, the three major points today. One, we are here on purpose. It's not an accident that we're here. Number two, don't try to be somebody else. And number three, be who you came to be. First of all, we are here on purpose. I encourage you to have the courage to live that purpose. When the divine creative force of the universe, whatever name you choose to assign to it, God, Spirit, the thing itself, the universe, source, whatever name you choose to call it, when it decided to express itself through and as you, it gave you everything that you need in order to live that purpose. You came fully equipped. That divine force didn't come with half a basket. It didn't come with a quarter tank of gas and give you 1,000 miles to go. You've got all the gas you need. You've got all of everything you need in order to do it. That creative force is precise, it is intentional, and it makes no mistakes. And to see the wonder of that, all we have to do is look at nature and look at the beauty of the world we live in and how all things are so interconnected and yet they still make perfect sense and they allow for everything to flourish. The creative force is precise, intentional, and makes no mistakes. I think it was 3 years ago at convention, a performer got up, and it was late in the convention. I think it was like Thursday. Everybody was kind of tired. It was after lunch, that coveted after lunch spot. And the word that came into my brain was drowsy. Everyone was kind of drowsy. And the music was great. And we had great New Thought performers, and it was really awesome. And then this little Pacific Islander Hawaiian gal got up, and she had an amazing energy. And within 60 seconds or less, she had everybody on the floor of that convention standing, singing, dancing. I mean, that place was electric. She is the most dynamite little powerhouse I ever met. And I happened to run into her after that, a few hours later. And I told her what a wonderful job she did and how much I appreciated it. Then she thanked me. And then I ran into her the next day again. And I think she kind of remembered me. Then I ran into her the third day after that. We were in line next to each other. And I finally really got to introduce myself. And I said something about, you know, this coincidence, we keep running into each other. I think that means you're supposed to come to Alaska. Alaska? I would love to go to Alaska. Well, she's a pretty busy gal, and I've been trying for 3 years to get her to come. We finally did it. Woo-hoo! So mark your calendar, September 9th. True. Now, it's not approved by the Leadership Council yet, so. But if the members of the Leadership Council would raise your hand, these are the people that you need to lobby. Kaleem can't duck, he's the president. So we've been exchanging these emails and whatnot, and I went on to her site and I looked at her latest newsletter. And this is a quote from her latest newsletter. "We're here on purpose. I'm convinced that I'm here, as you are, wherever you are, to do my greatest work yet. And what is that work? To be the best version of me. To live everything I sing and write about in everyday moments with those that I say I love the most. I've so appreciated the fun I've had traveling the world, singing about peace and oneness, and now it's time to live it at home. Whatever we say we're about collectively, it's time to live it in the everyday moments, in thought and word and action. I so know this is where the solution lies, where our greatest happiness, joy, and peace will emerge from. So I promise to do my part, and I'm so thankful to know you, my powerful, heart-centered tribe. You are so doing your part too. Mahalo nui loa. Thank you with love for being the solution now. We hear this same message in many different ways. From the Christian Gospels, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he writes, "For we are God's masterpiece. We have been made in the image and likeness of that divine creative force." They're telling us that we've come fully equipped with that full tank of gas. In Exodus, in the Hebrew scriptures, "And the Lord said unto him, Who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" It is that divine creative force which gives us all of everything we need. Also from the Hebrew scriptures, the story of Moses. And if you remember the story of Moses, he was a Hebrew baby, and Pharaoh had put out an edict that all of the male children were to be killed. And his mother loved him so much that she didn't want that. So she put him in a little reed raft and put him in a basket and put him into the Nile and let him go. And he was found by the Pharaoh's daughter, and he was raised by the Pharaoh's daughter. Even though they knew that he was Hebrew, they raised him with all of the privileges, the education, the background, the training of an Egyptian prince. But he knew that he was Hebrew. Everyone knew that he was Hebrew. And one day he saw an Egyptian slave driver abusing some Hebrew workers, and he killed them. And he knew he was in deep trouble with the Pharaoh, and so he had to split Egypt. So he left and he went to another land and lived. And he was living there as a simple shepherd, even though he had this great background. And then one day he saw this bush on fire, but it didn't reduce to ash. It didn't consume itself. It just sat there on fire. And he was intrigued by this, so he walked over to the burning bush, and this booming James Earl Jones voice came out of the sky and told him to take off his shoes. He was in holy ground. And so he did, and this same voice told him that he was to go back to Egypt and lead the Hebrew people to the promised land. Moses said, "Who? What? You, Moses. Not me. I'm no leader of people." "Yes, you, Moses." No, you. It must be another Moses somewhere. "Not me. I have a speech problem. I can't speak in front of the people." "You, Moses." But Moses denied what that creative force was telling him what to do. He denied what he was supposed to do. He eventually went ahead and did it, and we all know the story that Moses led the Hebrews out of Egypt and out of slavery. But he initially denied it, and that's what we all do. We tend to deny our own gifts. We deny our own inherent divinity. And so I urge you to have the courage to recognize that within you which is great. My point number two is, don't try to be someone else. Have the courage to be yourself. Don't wish that you were different. You know, I have spent most of my life wishing that I were just a little bit taller. Not if I was only 6'1", or so everything would be so much easier. If I only had a full head of hair, you know, if I, I could have an afro. Yeah. Colin Kaepernick, I don't know. If I only had some hair. Or you know, if only I could shed and keep off a few pounds, if I were a little thinner, or if I were a different nationality. I remember my grandfather, Grandpa Delaney, telling me what it was like growing up when the Irish were so hated. And it was very easy for them then to claim to be British, to be English. And they denied their Irish heritage. So very easy to wish that you were a different nationality. But the point is we don't need a copy. We need the original you. Ernest Holmes, in Living the Science of Mind, says, we often think that we have to pattern our lives after the lives of others. But our personality, no matter how winsome it may be, or how convincing, or how dominant, is more than a mask that we wear. It is a manifestation of an inner hidden principle, a divine spark within us, which uses both the mind and the body for its own self-expression. It is that divine spark that we can release, that we can flame into a mighty flame. For when we are doing what the divine is allowing us to do on this plane, it does so with ease and grace. When I first started here in this position as your senior minister, I was new out of ministerial school. I had attended the Holmes Institute at the Denver campus. The spiritual director and leader of the Denver campus, the Mile High Church, their senior minister is Roger Teal. And I still believe that Roger Teal is one of the most amazing ministers I have ever seen. He is a fantastic speaker. He's been in the ministry for many, many years. He knows how to run a church. He knows people. He knows the pitfalls to avoid. You know, and I just thought Roger Teal was the greatest thing there ever was, and I wanted to be like Roger Teal. And I spent the first year, year and a half, trying to be the best Roger Teal that I could be. If Roger Teal came in with an open collar and a sport coat on, well, the next Sunday I was hearing an open collar and a sport coat. If Roger Teal told a joke, I told a joke. If Roger Teal used an acronym, I'd try and use an acronym. I did everything I could to be the best Roger Teal that I could be. And I was a crappy Roger Teal. And I was working really, really hard. It's hard to be somebody else. It's a lot easier to be yourself. So I decided to be the best Don Fleming that I could be. I found out it's easier to be me. It's tough to be somebody else. You know, in the Clifton Strength Finders, many of us took the Clifton Strength Finders, and we kind of found out where our strengths were on this spectrum of 34 different strengths. Communication, getting up here in front of you all and talking. For me, 19 out of 34. I didn't even make the top half. I didn't even get in the... But what I am good at is a developer. I'm a developer. And that comes easy for me. It's so easy to encourage you, to let you know that you have it within you. You've got that tank of gas. You come fully equipped. You've got everything you need at every moment. And when you can get into that divine current and let it out, success is guaranteed, because you are working with that divine current. When you've got God with you, what can be against you? That is easy for me, not so much the rest of the stuff. Third point. Oh, good. Be who you came to be. Have the courage to be yourself. Also, when I started, a lot of people had a lot of ideas on how they wanted me to be the minister. Oh, that I got a lot of advice. And, you know, and it was all well-meaning. I know that it was all very, very well-meaning. But, you know, a lot of it, they were asking a frog to fly. And there were things I couldn't do. I never would get there. You know, people, a good example was that, you know, Don, you need to learn the accounting system. You need to be getting good like Reverend Linda. Reverend Linda knows that stuff backwards and forwards. She can do it in her sleep. You know, I'm never going to do that. I spent, you know, 40 years at GE. I can look at a balance sheet. I know a profit and loss. I can look at the big picture, but the details lost on this kid isn't going to happen. One of my colleagues told a great story. There's not a story, a true story, about her brother. He was in the Mensa Society. That's the group of the top 2%, the highest IQs in the nation. Genius guy. And he had just a knack for figures and for statistics and things like that. And he absolutely loved sports. All sports, every sport. And he loved kids. He had this big booming voice, you know, a big baritone voice, perfect for radio or TV announcing or color commentary. And he would call the games at home on TV far better than the announcers. You know, a guy comes to the plate and he'd say, oh yeah, he's hitting 319 from the right side of the plate, but from the left-hand side, he's only hitting 212. You know, and he knew all that stuff. He knew, you know, what, you know, C.J. Anderson's yards per carry average is year to date. You know, and it was just second nature to him. He could do it so easily. But his parents didn't think that he could ever make a living being a sports announcer. And they encouraged him to go to school and give up on that silly idea. Get a good job. Be an accountant. And he could do that too. He is a guy's brilliant. And he did. He became an accountant. He went on and he was, you know, promoted. He got in, you know, he was a finance officer. He ended up being the chief financial officer for a fairly good sized company in the Midwest. And he was miserable. And every weekend he'd sit home watching the sports, the football games, the baseball games, the basketball games. Oh yeah, this guy has, you know, so many points a game average. This guy has so many assists. And he never was able to muster the courage to live the life that he wanted to live. And I don't have a doubt in the world that he would be the best sports announcer ever. But he never was able to do it. And that's what I'm talking about. Having the courage to be the best you that you can be. I'll go back to the Hebrew scriptures and another story, and this is David and Goliath. And most of you know the story of David and Goliath. David was a young shepherd boy, and I think he was basically bringing in his lunch to his brother, to the army, and they were all assembled, and they were fighting the opposing army, and the opposing army had this giant of a man, stronger than anybody, bigger, stronger, faster. His name was Goliath, and this giant guy, Goliath, and Goliath came out and challenged the Hebrews, I will fight any of you one-on-one, and we'll just settle it right here and then. And of course, nobody would do that. Nobody was willing to go out and take on this Goliath one-on-one. Even the brave King Saul wasn't going to go out and take on Goliath. But here this little David came, And he stepped in, I'll do it. Because he believed, and he believed that he had that divine current with him and for him. Now, this little shepherd boy had spent hours and hours out in the field while he was tending his father's sheep with his slingshot, and he could rifle a stone. And so they gave him Saul's armor and everything. He couldn't even wear it. It was too big. He couldn't even carry the armor. They gave him all the tools to sort. I don't need that. And he went out against the mighty Goliath with nothing but his slingshot. And he felled this mighty giant. That's exactly like you. Each and every one of you have your own gift from the divine. You each have your own slingshot. You don't have to have somebody else's armor. You don't have to have all of the strength. You don't have to be 6'2" with a full head of hair and thin and trim. You've got your own gift. And what I encourage you to do is to use that gift. So what is your skill? What do you have? What skill is the creative force expressing through you? That skill will open doors for you if you will only let it. The skill may seem small to you, but it may be huge for mankind. Once again, from the Living Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes. Our trouble has been that we have not discovered the key which unlocks the doorway to the larger life is in our own mouth. We have not realized that the thing which seems so insignificant in the scheme of things, the personal self, is, as Jesus taught, the keystone of the arch. That little skill that you have, that thing that you love doing, that you think you can't ever make any money from, that thing that you think is just a hobby, is a gift. And it can be the key to the arch. So what I would like to give to you today for a takeaway, the conclusion, I'm going to go back to Faith Rivera and mark your calendar, September 9th. I'm convinced that I'm here, as you are, wherever you are, to do my greatest work yet. And what is that work? To be the best version of me. To live everything I sing and write about in everyday moments with those that I say I love the most. I've so appreciated the fun that I've had traveling the world and singing about peace and oneness, and now it's time to live it at home. Whatever we say about collectively, it's time to live it in the everyday moments, in thought and word and action. I so know this is where the solution lies, where our greatest happiness, joy, and peace will emerge from. So I promise to do my part, and I'm so thankful to know you, my powerful, heart-centered tribe. You are so doing your part too. Mahalo nui loa. Thank you with love for being the solution now. And so it is with that awareness of our own divinity, of our own strength, of our own God selves that is within it. I ask my colleagues to join me in holding our congregation in love and light and simply knowing a greater truth. Knowing that there is indeed a power in the universe, one power, one presence, one life, and that life is the life of God, and that life is the life of each and every one of us. And that life is perfect. That life is perfect in every way. And so as I speak my word now for each and every person in our congregation who is facing any type of challenge, we just simply know that there is a power far greater than we are that is conspiring for our good in this and in every moment. For those that are experiencing financial challenges, we just know that we live in an abundant universe, that our needs are met. Everything is there for us. I speak my word for those who are experiencing health challenges, knowing that behind the appearance of disease, there is a pattern deep within each and every one of us, a pattern of perfection. And it is that pattern of perfection that I call forth, that I recognize as the capital T truth for each and every one of us. And for those who are suffering from separation, separation from God, separation from their fellow man, separation from family, we just simply know that this divine power, more than anything else, is a power of love. And that we, as expressions of that power, are beings of love. And so we set aside differences. We forgive. We allow God's love to flow through us. And so it is with gratitude that I just am filled with God's love, with health, and with abundance. And I know that the words that I have just spoken are God's own truth. I release these words to the working of law, which always responds. And for this I am grateful. I let it go, I let it be, and so it is.
And so it is.